This is Carol.
This is Ty.
You're listening to the Pardon the Interaction podcast.
Do the podcast where we definitely all read the things this week.
We certainly did read the things this week, Carol, or at least most of us on this podcast did. But before we get to the things this week that we read, we have to give our obligatory shout out to our sponsor, Sheets and Giggles. I can't even remember how I sold the sheets on the last episode. Oh, I know what happened. I think I was telling the audience how wonderfully soft and restorative and recuperative the sheets are, that even if you died and we laid you to rest and we wrapped you in those sheets,
you'd be resurrected by the next episode.
There you go. You
welcome.
Nailed it, Carol.
You're back.
That is,
yeah, you nailed it, but I brought it back.
I see what you did there. Probably sacrilegious and I'm going to hell, but that's okay. As long as you get a set of sheets with
Jesus
Sheets and Giggles.
Jesus would have died for your Sheets and Giggles.
There. Sorry, we got it out of order.
Jesus died for you to get these sheets.
And then do the inappropriate joke.
Jesus died for you to get these sheets from sheetsandgiggles.com. But obviously, the week has not quite been so completely out of control, or at least in comparison to last week. If you caught the last episode, that was probably a fucking roller coaster, which you were still recovering from. I know I am. It was a lot packed into the last week. This week has been eventful as well. and we'll just dive right into this particular roller coaster. So with 3 days to spare, Trump finally posted the $175 million bond in his New York civil fraud judgment. Kids, did you keep up with the ins and outs of that particular development? By any chance?
I understand that he's paid it and he still owes the full amount.
You know what he did? It's like, you know, you're behind on your electric bill and they're like, okay, we're going to accept this partial payment here, but bet you still owe us, you know? So you pay it and it keeps your lights on, you know, temporarily, but the bill's still going to come due. But I don't know. I was reading somewhere that guy Hankey was saying, like, that he was actually in talks about paying it when it was the $464 million or whatever. And that he was the one that reached out to the Trumps. And then Eric reached out to him and he was like, yeah, I got you.
Okay, so let's rewind here. So last week at the last second, the appeals court reduced Trump's bond from the 470. I think it was 464 million, actually, if you include the interest, to a mere $175 million bond in order to stay the enforcement of the judgment to keep Fonnie Willis from Fonnie Willis. That's Georgia. I'm turning into Fox News now.
All like, black people look alike to you, Dean.
Just look, if Fonnie Willis is on my mind, there's a lot going on here. But no, Letitia James to basically forestall her from seizing Trump's properties. He still had to come up with $175 million in order to stay the judgment. And it turns out at the last minute here, Monday, with a couple of days to spare, came up with the $175 million bond from a guy who largely made his fortune in subprime lending for auto purchases, right?
He's the slumlord of the auto industry.
Yes. Exactly. He's got a lot in common with housing lenders who caused the 2008 financial collapse, mm-hmm. Except his business is largely centered around automobiles. But he's got a hand in another one of the companies who ended up insuring this barn for Trump. A small portion of their business interest does include providing bonds, but nothing of like, this is orders of magnitude above and beyond what that company typically deals in. So I can only imagine that whatever the terms of the agreement are, we should be pretty fucking suspicious, because this is
I agree. And they're licensed in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah, this is just wild. The CEO of this dude signed off on the fucking $175 million bond himself, Hanky. But he's also got an ownership stake in this other company. I think it's, is it Axios? Not Axios.
Axios. Look,
I be reading Axios sometimes, so it's also on the mind. But yes, he's got a hand in Axios Financial, who was also lending hundreds of millions of dollars to Trump in his other various properties. He helped him refinance his Trump Tower loan, the one the Deutsche Bank was like, we out this bitch.
They don't even have a branch. I bet you're just an online bank.
Yes. So everything surrounding this last minute bailout from this guy is very suspicious. And you would think like you've already got hundreds of millions of dollars invested in Trump's properties. Why would you come up with these $175 million to bail him out at the last second? But I guess like if you've already got money, like you're pot committed at that point, you might as well follow through and try and save him. I don't know, but
I'll look into his legal, because I have a feeling that he made a deal with the Orange Devil, because he's like, you know what? I got something that's going to be coming up. So when you win, I'm going to need you to, you know, I'm going to need that pardon on deck. So.
Right.
Well, something shady like that.
Well, another thing that's awfully suspicious about this deal is Hanky and like, he says he's never met or spoken with Donald Trump, which seems pretty fucking insane, even though like one, Hanky is a super Trump supporter, he's donated to the campaign. One of his companies is largely responsible for these loans.
Definitely got the money to be hanging out at Mar-a-Lago to get the invite to the cookout.
You would think. So it seems just fairly fucking impossible that the dude is willing to have gone to these lengths to rescue this guy. And like you said, Ty, he has mentioned that he was the one who initiated conversations surrounding the opportunity for his company to provide this bond. It's all suspect. Like, I would hope that journalists would please, for God's sakes, do your due diligence and dig around in this guy's financial goings and comings, because if you just look at what happened with the previous bond with Chubb Financial and the CEO of that company, Greenberg, having ties to Dimitri Symes from the fucking Mueller investigation, like there's no way that if you just like dig beneath the surface in this arrangement, I'm sure you'll find something pretty fucking scandalous, because no one just, I don't understand.
There's no one that should have came to this Donald rescue. Trump is not good for it, like, for real. So if you don't want money, you want something else, because everything is transactional and nobody is cutting for him just to be coming to his rescue like that, because he's just this great, great, great guy. So that's always a good place to start, because that much we know is true.
And I think, well, here's the thing. So obviously, I think at this point, you got to expect that given the reduced bond, Trump knew he would probably be able to come up with $175 million, even if he couldn't come up with the full $425 million, and he was probably scraping his pennies together And I'm sure he did manage to find a way to come up with the cash to secure the barn, because I believe the surety agreement was something like 1-to-1 in terms of having assets to back the barn, which probably means that he used $175 million worth of cash or some kind of liquid assets in order to secure the bond. Otherwise, if he had to use his property, that probably would have been like 2-to-1.
Well, what he said was, Hanky, he said that it was going to be an 80-20 deal. Assets, 20 cash, 20% cash.
80. Oh, is that what he said?
But Trump came up with the cash.
Ah, got you. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, this is part of the problem, like, in figuring all this shit out. Like, we have no idea what the fuck Trump actually has because he lies all the fucking time. He said, one day he says he can't come up with the money. The next day he says he's got $500 million in cash. In court, his lawyers say it's impossible to secure the bond, but they also file, they file documents in court stating that Trump has $400 million in cash. It's really just, it's impossible. And then again, I'm sure with like Trump's lenders, they probably have these clauses in these contracts that require him to have, a certain amount of cash on hand. Otherwise, he'll be in violation of the loan terms and they can call his loans. And just it's so difficult to figure out what the state of affairs are with his finances and, what assets have what encumbrances. It's just a fucking maze. But I can only imagine, given that we still have Barbara Jones overseeing the Trump organization, at the very least, whatever fucking shenanigans he's trying to pull, he won't be able to get away with if they're criminal. And if it's remotely sketchy, I'm sure she'll flag it and report it to the court. So just expect more developments on that in the near future.
What would have been super cute is if he had to go begging to Barbara, like for an allowance. Can I get some of that?
Yeah, he got to go ask her, and he would draw money from his account. But, look, it wouldn't even be the first time that he's taking money out of the account without notifying her, because he took out, $40 million or so to pay his taxes last year without notifying Barbara Jones. She wasn't too pleased about that. I think he also took out money to pay the E. Jean Carroll II lawsuit, the $5 million judgment. She wasn't pleased with that and had to notify the court, and if you just take into account that his behavior, not only in like the behavior he was adjudicated to have engaged in court, but just his behavior since, or just over the course of the trial where he's like moving money and trying to create a Trump organization too, and secretly move all his assets to. The fact that the courts continue to give him a break with all of this shit is fucking bonkers. Right. I don't understand how this dude who constantly engages in this kind of activity is constantly getting breaks is beyond me. Like, no one in the history of the legal system has ever been given the benefit of the doubt at every turn like this guy. Kara, you okay over there?
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts that you would like to share, perhaps?
No. I will try to, I will interject when I want to say something.
Oh, okay. All righty.
I think we should go to the next topic.
Yes. This is still about that fool. So we'll take.
And the next topic would be what? I wasn't paying attention.
Roll these into one topic.
I don't know. I'm just.
The stock price is tanking, or are we still talking about the bond?
I mean, we can move on if you want to. There's just like.
Wasn't trying to push away.
No, it's just insane. Like this Hanky dude and this company, Knight Financial, which at least I'm fond of the name. coming through at the last second. It seems fucking shady. And the fact that he was negotiating to try and come up with the 400.
It's so dramatic because they were negotiating this shit back in March. So I feel like Trump was probably did it on purpose. He was probably like, yo, bro, if you can get this down, I got you. And then it was the whole dramatic down to the wire. Because, you know, everything with Trump is a fucking reality show. And it's like, I don't know. I think he knew if it was reduced, he could get it. So he was playing the game.
Well, he definitely played a shell game with the court. And they fell for it. And they gave him exactly what he wanted and bailed him out. And again, like we talked about last week, make sure you pick up a copy of Tristan Snell's book where he talks about how to hold Trump accountable. Mm-hmm. And like the appeals court did the exact opposite of what he suggests.
Like what happened?
You gotta draw a fucking hard line. Otherwise he will squirm and find a way out. And like you giving him a near $300 million discount, they ain't never going to see that money in that judgment. They're going to get the $175 million because that's going to be in escrow somewhere. But the rest of that money, New York is never getting. And that's under the assumption that the appeals court does uphold the initial judgment. I mean, I guess there's been a lot of speculation about the fact that because they've lowered the bond, that means they don't agree with the initial number and they're going to lower the judgment to $175 million. But the thing is, because the appeals court didn't put anything in their fucking judgment when they handed it down, like it's basically just saying, hey, this is the conclusion we came to with no explanation. Who the fuck knows what is going to happen in that regard? But yes, Carol, on to the next subject here. The Trump Media and Technology Group's their stock price tanked by 21% in just one day after going public. After a public filing showed $4 million in revenue in 2023 and losses of up to $58 million. Carol, do you have any thoughts on those developments?
I think it's kind of, I'm wondering about the timing of that money appearing to Trump after his company lost.
Oh, after the dump, you mean? That is a very good observation.
Or it's just, or is it just that, you know, the bond was due and people lost confidence? I don't know. Anyway.
This is what happened. Well, so this is what happened with the Trump stock.
What happened was
after the initial day, after the launch, after it initially went public, it was trading at a fairly high number. But then, of course, now that it's a publicly traded company, like these filings have to be made public about the financial inner workings of the company. What is it, like an 8K filing? So typically what happens with these companies after they go public and you get to see their inner workings, their financials, and there's a couple of ways that you can typically value these companies. And one way to do that generally is in multiples of revenue. So say a company goes public and it's making $100 million in revenue a year, regardless of what its expenses are. You might look at that and be like, all right, well, maybe that company, depending on, you know, whatever area of business they focus on, that company might be worth 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 times its revenue. So a company making $100 million with an ever growing, market cap might be worth $300-500 million, right? It's pretty straightforward math. Truth Social, on the other hand, had a revenue of $4 million last year. And even if you rack that valuation up by 10X, you 10X whatever the revenue is in Truth Social's case, it made $4 million. You'd be gracious to give it that number that'd make it worth $40 million. Well, upon its basically an IPO, in this case, it was a SPAC merger. The thing was valued at multiple billions of dollars, which is way fucking off. There's no company in the history.
People actually use.
Right. There's no company in the history of companies that's launched with these kind of financials that's been valued at that number, which is totally fucking.
Now that Elon Musk established like arbitrarily high and false values for fucking social media companies, and he bought Twitter for like a.
Well, that's
therefore some of this one should also be that. Price.
Okay, but see the thing, so well, this kind of also applies to that, right? So that was Elon buying a publicly traded company and taking it private. But theoretically, what Elon did was value it at a reasonable multiple of not necessarily its revenue, but at least the stock price. He bought it for what, almost three times more than what it was trading for. But again, if you think a company is super valuable and the if under different management, it could become more profitable, and therefore the stock price could increase once you take it public again. I mean, that's not obviously we look at it now, and well, I mean, it was stupid at the time, but it wasn't like insane. He didn't buy it for like 1,000 times more than the price it was trading for, or 1,000 times more than its revenue. That's not what happened there. But also, a company like Truth Social. And this is insane. Like I get more impressions on Twitter than Truth Social gets unique visitors every month.
Yeah. So what is it, like 287,000 or something?
It gets like 3 million unique visitors every month. Oh. But that's a really low number. And then it's
You said million?
It's getting 3 million unique visitors every month. That's not necessarily people creating accounts.
Also like the difference between your views and your actual clicks of, yeah, like on, there you on go. Your analytics right. on.
Exactly. And the fact that it's barely like, just for context, like, again, my guys on Midas Touch, they talk about how they get more unique visitors to their YouTube page over like a 2-day period than this shit is getting in a month. And there's no way that this shit is worth $6-8 billion. And that's why the second those financial statements were made publicly available, the stock price sank, because there aren't any real investors who were looking at that and being like, oh yeah, there's a way for me to make money on this by buying stock. And if anything, the only real way to make money off of this thing for most people will be to short it. Otherwise, it's like a Ponzi scheme, right? The only people who are going to make money are the people who cash out early. And another thing, so the company who did the audit of Truth Social's financials is some rinky dink. I really don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's not quite strip mall level accounting, but it's like a building on a street behind a strip mall in Colorado. But
they have their own building.
Huh?
They have their own building, though.
They do have their own building, and I've actually seen a picture of it because I pulled it up on Google Maps just to see what it looked like. And it looks like that type of shit.
Called Four Seasons?
No, it wasn't quite like that. But
it was the Four C's on Third.
The Four C's.
They stand for Candy, Candace, Cadence, and
Carmen. No, but it did look like something out of that movie. Have y'all seen that Ben Affleck movie, The Accountant?
Yes.
It looks like that shit. It's like a firm with like a single employee, and the dude runs his own firm, and he's the person who audited their financial documents. And just like, it is so strange. Like, usually when these large companies launch, whether they're taken public in some kind of IPO, you know, you get one of the handful of really large, accounting firms to handle this process. I don't know what you guys might be familiar with, but like there's a Ernst Young right down the street from me. So they usually handle large IPOs or KPMG or something like that, something along those lines. Not some random dude who's like down the street from the O'Reilly's tucked behind the strip mall with like the nail salon and like the boba tea place.
Oh my gosh. And the nail.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It's very
on third.
Very weird that they couldn't come up with like a legitimate firm to hand. Just all of this is so suspect. Like, and again, so we got news today that the Trump is actually suing his business partners, the co-founders, who basically helped build the company for him, which is, it's a development in a long saga of shady ass activity at the company, given that these guys sued him just a few, well, I guess it's been a little over a month now, for basically trying to prevent him from engaging in a scheme to dilute their shares so that upon launch, they would basically own none of the company. And in court filings, Trump's lawyers was like, oh, judge, come on. There's nothing like that going on here. We promise. And then immediately after the launch, Trump is trying to sue those guys to take away their shares based on some, Ty, isn't he basically accusing them of running the company so poorly that it's not worth shit?
Yes, that is exactly what he's saying.
Yes.
He is blaming them. So, I mean, I just really, now, I have zero doubt that he did exactly what they accused him of doing. Absolutely.
Oh, what? Trying to steal the shares from them, basically, by watering, diluting the shares?
Absolutely. And when that didn't work, and they sued because he probably thought they were such sycophants that he could just screw them over like he does regular MAGA, you know?
Well, can you name someone that's worked with Trump that he hasn't stabbed in the back? Like, it's literally everyone, right? And if you can just, like, be literal. Well, not literal.
Well, right now, I'm going to say Alina Haba. And that's because,
Before you even get to Alina Haba, there's actually, welcome back, Carol. So there's this recent settlement between Trump and a former employee. It's basically another illegal hush money scheme. The housekeeper where Alina Haba, this is how Alina Haba basically got her start in representing Trump. She pretended to be friends with this lady and helped her sign an agreement to get her paid in exchange for not going public with her story. Except the payment was far beyond or far below what this lady should have been compensated. And she tricked her into it, really, to help Trump out.
Well,
Trump settled, except like everyone is now absolved of responsibility in that settlement, except for Alina Haba, leaving her open to a lawsuit. So he kind of just stabbed her in the back too.
Yeah, but she's so dumb.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Trump is eventually going to stab everybody in the back, whether that's Alina Haba or Mike Pence.
Even when he just got rid of the only lawyer who was one of the only lawyers who hasn't been disbarred yet, who's still representing him.
Yeah.
But if you get your lawyer in trouble, it's not good.
I mean, he stabbed Kevin McCarthy in the back. He sued Deutsche Bank once because he didn't pay them what they were owed. He's lied to all of his lenders. Of course, like what they just proved that in court here.
He always uses the same line every time he stiffs somebody. Well, you know, I wouldn't pay for that work. That work was shitty. He always uses that same line. Always. It's always the same thing. And everyone goes, well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. It's always the same.
And it's the same. It's like a similar scheme with what he pulled with the New York Appeals Court to get his bond lowered. He's just always fucking finding a way to just just, it's insane, man. It's sociopathic, the lengths that he'll go to. But yeah, suing the people who basically just made him billions of dollars on paper in order to try and get what little bit of the company they own. So like, it's half a billion. Maybe what he's trying to do is he's trying to sue them to get what he owes for the rest of the New York civil fraud trial judgment. I don't know.
No, it's fucking, you know, that's what you do. You
want some more tea?
You'll find the next of that. What he needs at the time. Can't think of the word. It's like a Ponzi scheme, but with your own finances. I think it's just.
I don't know.
He's addicted to. It's just anything that'll keep him in the news. I think he thinks it makes him seem like a tough guy. I think he thinks it makes him seem like a tough guy. Like, oh, he doesn't take no shit. He's going to sue. Like, or because every time when MAGAs get all pre-cummy in their boxers when somebody does something, they're like, ooh, Elon's going to sue you. Ooh, Trump is going to sue. Like, they get all excited about like that. And I think that he literally thinks it makes him look like some kind of, you know, tough guy or something. That, no, I don't take no mess and I'm going to take you to court. And he walks around with this entourage of legal eagles, quote unquote, around him, when really it's just like the guy that he picked up outside of 7-Eleven and gave him a suit and everything else. Like, he's just fucking ridiculous. And I mean, he should be held accountable more for this bullshit and for wasting our judicial system's time.
Yeah, but I mean, look, judges just don't want to hold him accountable no matter what the fuck it is he's doing in nearly every instance. But I guess we have yet another example of that. So Judge Merchan, who's overseeing the hush money election interference case, issued a gag order against Trump last week, preventing him from making any disparaging comments about like court staff and the clerks. And
how have those all been working so far?
Well, Trump immediately began to violate that order last week by attacking Judge Merchan's daughter. So Alvin Bragg made a court filing Monday, asking the judge to expand the gag order to include family members of the DA and the judge to make sure that Trump knew that was beyond what was allowable by the gag order. And Trump violated the expanded gag order again today on Truth Social by pinning a post to his account where a Fox News host basically attacked Judge Merchan's daughter over the same fake claims that Trump used to justify his attacks on Merchan's daughter last week. So not going great, kids.
Look, the way I feel is that if you have to institute a gag order, it's already too late. Like, was that like, if you have to get to that point where you have to issue a gag order, that negative, that toxicity is always already in the atmosphere. So you're pulling up the rear on this one.
Yeah. But the thing is, if you want to hold Trump accountable, at least in terms of like threatening potential jurors, because that's really what he's doing, right? You know, there's no way that he making these statements about Merchan's daughter is going to shake Merchan. But what it does do is it sends a message to witnesses and potential jurors that, hey, if Trump can go after the judge's daughter like this and the judge can't do anything about it, like, what's to stop that from happening to some random person who's just sitting on the jury or someone who's going to testify against him? Like, if the judge can't protect his own family, how are you going to protect them? And like, the only way you can really reconcile that issue is to make sure the terms of the gag order are clear. And then when he violates the gag order, you got to punish his ass. And in this case, like a couple thousand dollars in fines ain't going to do it. You're going to have to put his ass in pretrial detention for at least a couple of days. And again, as I just stated, he immediately after having the gag order expanded and clarified to include Merchan's daughter and family members of the judge and the DA, Trump couldn't help him fuck himself. Habitual line stepper at his finest. Like the
Can't tell him what to do. My small child.
Yep. And he's gonna, and he's got to see where the line is, and then he's got to cross it. And if you don't hammer it, then he will just continue to cross the line and create issues, and it will have, you know, unforeseen consequences. And the only thing the judge can really do at this point is be like, hey man, I just fucking told you, now you've crossed the line again. Got to put your ass in lockup. But again, this is going to be another issue where Trump's not going to be held responsible for his bad behavior. He's going to get away with it. And then he's going to continue to engage in more bad behavior. It's going to have,
I would love to see. We said that until before he was charged with anything. Let's see. This will be the first judge to lock him up over violating a gag order. Come on, fingers crossed.
Yeah, we can hope.
So little else to live for, so just let us have this.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Merchan will, or at least not over this most recent incident with the post on True Social. And then you've got, it's not like we don't have evidence of Trump being a stochastic terrorist at every turn, especially when it involves the legal system holding him accountable. Like every single judge except for one in all of his various cases, whether it be civil or criminal, has faced some kind of threats, some kind of harassment, you know. Like Judge Ngoron had to the judge in the Georgia RICO trial had to wait days before handing out his judgment that kept Fannie Willis on the case, because he had to get security in place because he knew he was going to receive death threats. Like someone just got arrested earlier today for sending threats basically to kill Letitia James and who was the judge overseeing that? Kill Letitia James and Judge Ngoron if Letitia James seized any of Trump's properties. Like it's fucking bananas. And
I mean, look, the whole reason that Fannie Willis went with, you know, Wade was because nobody else would take the job. Like, he was literally a last resort for her. Right. It wasn't like she was like, okay, boy, I got this cushy job for you. You know, no, like yeah. She literally went to everyone that she could think of to be the special counsel on this case. And they were like, no.
Even the former governor, right? Because she asked him if he would join the prosecution's team as a special prosecutor. And he was like, you know, I lived 4 years with like a private security detail, and I didn't want to live that way for the rest of my life. And that's why I turned down the job. And like, again, you know, that was one of the issues with trying to prove some kind of untoward activity in her relationship with Wade, is like he wasn't her first choice or her third choice.
That's a hard ask. People have watched you for 2 years, have to increase security, face threats, death threats, you in your office. So for you to call up somebody and be like, how you doing? You want to come help me out?
I mean, if you zoom out, really, like a lot of Trump's adversaries just over the past near decade here, like him using his platform to direct his supporters to attack and harass and threaten and intimidate other people. Like it's been a multi-year pattern, and like It's nothing new. And like, we also have to keep in context that this is a dude who brought his supporters to D.C. and told them to go attack the Capitol, and they did it.
Beat cops who didn't have no problem with it, who were trying to blow up shit. Nope. Like,
and I feel like it's just like judges treat this dude like he exists in a vacuum. Like, we're only taking into account the things he does in this particular case. If you look at his behavior, it like just in totality, like there's absolutely no reason to give this dude a break in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And this ain't me talking. And I know you probably listening. He's like, oh, you just hate Trump. Well, okay. Like, I can be objective in this particular instance and set aside my personal feelings for this dude and his politics, because it's more than just that. But like, no one else would be getting treated like this. Like, if I was talking shit about a judge's daughter and posting it on the Twitter with my couple hundred thousand followers and doing all of this crazy shit, I would be in pretrial detention right now. Bond revoked. My black ass would be locked up.
Look,
there'd be a hashtag going for you in no time.
Oh, right?
Hashtag free the D.
Well, you know, Carol, as much as I would like to free the D, I'm not Jeffrey Toobin. Can't be doing that over the Zoom here.